Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 400.
Happy birthday to you.
It's not
you.
A birthday.
It's an anniversary.
It's a milestone episode.
Milestone.
It's not a milestone.
This is actually a milestone.
This is actually.
Wow.
You can finally say milestone.
This is the first time in 100 episodes where you can say this is a milestone.
No, you can say it at 150. At 50 episodes, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a true milestone.
Yeah, that's fair. No, 239 is a milestone.
Very mild.
Yeah, very mild. Yeah, easily passable.
400. Wow. What better way to celebrate it
what
than...
What a big bonanza. This
with
is...
the spy who dumped me.
Yeah.
Wow.
What quite the coup for them.
Mila Kunis, thank you for joining us.
Yes. Yeah.
I just love it how every single movie Mila Kunis is in, she's the everyman.
That's
like,
what she is,
poor,
though.
Poor Mila Kunis...
she's not crazy hot. No, I think that's not the true about. What was the one with Timberlake?
I'm just saying, for the most part, they always try to make Mila Kunis into the everyman, and it's like
you can't
do that. You like that's not a thing. Like, oh, I have such bad luck with the guys, I can't get a boyfriend. I'm like, fuck.
She wasn't like that in Ted.
I'm generalizing. What I'm saying though is they keep trying to push this Mila Kunis is the everyman girl. It's like no, you can't.
I would still argue that in Ted they make her the everyman because she likes the dirty jokes and she's like one of the boys, but she also puts out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Same with Friends with Benefits.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's actually not a bad movie. I like that.
Isn't that the good one?
Yeah, there was the Natalie Portman Ashton Kutcher one that was not
that's
good.
Weird. It's when her and her now husband were in the competing ones that came out at the exact same time.
And then it was Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake.
I never put that together because they weren't together at the time, but there was an Ashton Kutcher one and a Mila Kunis.
I think it was called No Strings Attached.
Yeah.
Now that sounds like a plot for a romantic comedy.
It does. A husband and wife team competing in separate movies.
It's like Shop Around the Corner. It's like a rom-com about rom-coms.
About rom-coms, yeah.
It's like
it's super meta.
It's like the inception of rom-coms.
There you go.
Shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. You can check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/realspoilers and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. So, I guess this is a milestone.
Yeah.
Episode in that we'll introduce our new feature called 50 Minutes of Suck.
Oh, snap.
What happened?
I don't...
On paper,
this should be
not groundbreaking cinema, but should have been a funny and enjoyable.
I didn't think it was as
movie.
Bad as I thought it was going to be.
I equate this. This is like a Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. That's what this is.
Ooh,
this is the
man.
Genre of like it's just a dumb comedy that has some funny jokes. A lot of it's really bad and stupid. But
Harold,
it's
like, a different Harold, version. Yours had some funny jokes.
Well, I think like is it Kate McKenna?
I like Kate McKinnon a lot.
Yeah.
I like Kate McKinnon a lot.
I don't think she hasn't had a starring role.
When the guy says, "You're a bit much," to her, that is like just end the movie like that in a nutshell. It's like,
well,
she's
and what was just so weird is, well, we'll just spoil it, but like that's supposed to be our clue that he's not really a good guy and he's the bad guy, right? And I totally missed it because
because she is a bit much like that. I turned to Katie and I'm like, yes, that's what he said sums up
and
her,
not
like,
only that, but it's her entire comedic persona. Like, here's the difference. So and I mean this as a compliment, but like if you look at Stripes,
yeah,
right, that scene where his girlfriend dumps him at the beginning of the movie, right?
Okay.
And he's like, you know, talk about potential for growth. I am the acorn that becomes the mighty oak. Like you like him,
right?
But you also totally get
why
she's leaving.
Correct.
Yeah. Right?
Bruce Willis and Die Hard. You get why, like,
He's a dick.
Yeah, and it's like, we love him because he's his snark and his sarcasm and him acting like that as one-liners, but it's like, you get why Holly's like,
but
I
you wouldn't want to be married
no,
to
him. I want to pursue this career. And he's like, yeah, I'm a cop. I'm in New York. Like, I'm not leaving. My cases are open. It's like, but
he
your family's moving.
In Bill Murray's case, he did upgrade in Stripes.
But he didn't know that at the time.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, I just, that was one of the things in this movie where I'm like, first of all, she was being obnoxious. Second of all, he said, you're a bit much. And then she was like, it was like a heartbreaking scene.
Yeah, well, she was like, I'm going to cut your dick off and shove it down your throat. And then he's like, has anybody ever told you you're a bit much? And she, like,
and then it acted like
her.
It was a gut. And I'm like, they were trying to play it up like that. But I don't think anyone was like,
fear about Kate McKinnon is, she's going to go down the Robin Williams route
where they're like, you can fix it.
You can fix it.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of you can fix it in this movie.
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah. I could tell that there was a lot of improv going on.
I don't think she's found her footing in film.
Yeah.
And it's like,
she's with Ghostbusters in this.
Yeah. But I mean, like, she's coming. Like, she is.
No, she's been in other things with smaller roles.
Yeah.
She was in, I think, Office Christmas Party.
Oh, was she?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. But she was very much, she was a character, right? She wasn't the Kate, like, I feel like
she's the Will Ferrell of SNL right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I feel like in Ghostbusters and in this, she's kind of like a version of herself,
mm-hmm.
where, like, and I think it was Office Christmas Party, she played like the really like kind of quiet, mousy,
subdued.
Like, yeah, it was a character role.
Yeah. So this is their second like starring role though.
Sure.
I mean, Ghostbusters, she was a lead,
yes.
And this, she's the one of two leads.
If she doesn't pull out of these skids, she's going to be remembered for SNL. You know, like but I mean, like Will Ferrell,
it takes a while to figure out sometimes. I mean, look at Will Ferrell's career trajectory
post or pre
until Anchorman.
Yeah.
Old School.
Old school,
there's Night at the Roxbury. He's doing like four lines in Austin Powers. Like
Austin Powers.
Like they didn't know.
I love that Mustafa or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm burned really badly. I've been shot, but I'm still like great.
But like they couldn't figure out what to do with him.
But they didn't
either.
Give him a starring role.
He was they did Night at the Roxbury. They did in Superstar.
But that's an SNL. Like that was an SNL.
Me, yeah,
those are both SNL
those,
movies.
Those I think are anomalies because they fell into like the Coneheads and the Wayne's Worlds and the Ladies Man. Like they were trying to spin off those SNL characters.
Right.
It's like those are skits. They're not hour and a half movies.
But when he was given, when he got partnered up with
Adam McKay. But he was partnered up with Adam McKay because at SNL,
that's right.
That was his primary writer. Where they met.
Right. So I hope that she can pull out of this in time. Like I think she's extremely funny. And I think she could be, she is right now.
See,
she's one of the top female comics.
To me, she's wearing thin. I think, I used to think she was amazing, but they use her in every sketch. She is a bit much. And I'm just like, it's just it's overwhelming at this point.
So with
like,
Will Ferrell or, I'm trying to think who else. Will Ferrell,
felt that way about Will Ferrell.
Because they pulled him back. Because
I loved Will Ferrell, and I always said
he was the best. Yeah, he wasn't in every skit.
Like he has two best of SNL DVDs, the only one with two. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that guy.
Farley's got two.
Who?
Farley.
Oh, I didn't realize they did a second, but it's like Will Ferrell was awesome. And with Kate McKinnon, when she started, it was great, but they realized like people love her, and she's so funny. And God, if she's not in every skit. She is such a caricature that it's just like, you know, everything is over the top with their performance. And so after a while, you know, like, that's okay in small doses, but when every scene she's doing that.
They were doing that with Kristen Wiig.
I'm exhausted.
They did a lot of that with Kristen Wiig.
And Kristen Wiig pulled it back.
Yeah,
Kristen Wiig was like, you know what? I'm going to go make these smaller art house movies.
I love
and
her.
I'm not going to go down this road.
The black humor, the dark humor, the like dry stuff. Like, that's where Kristen Wiig excels.
But it's also easier for Kristen Wiig to make that choice because she had Bridesmaids.
That's true.
Kate McKinnon has not had a Bridesmaids.
That's very true.
Yet,
that's very true.
You know?
Well, I hope she gets one. Because...
But yeah, because I think the real trajectory of when Will Ferrell took off is when he got to make a movie where he said, F you, I'm going to do what I want.
Right.
Mm. And that's Anchorman.
Anchorman.
Right?
Yep.
And so Old School gave him enough juice to make Anchorman. And then
that's Todd Phillips, isn't it?
No, that's Adam McKay as well.
I think so.
I don't think so.
Not Todd Phillips.
Wait, which one are you asking about?
Old School.
Yes.
Old School is Todd Phillips.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Old School is, for
Adam
sure.
Adam McKay is absolutely.
That was his first thing. Yeah.
And so, but I think the problem is what she probably wants to do doesn't quite fit what Hollywood wants to do.
That could be. And
I can't help but feel some of it is because she's a lesbian.
I
and
thought
that
the same
Hollywood
thing.
Doesn't.
She is?
Like, she's the first. She's the first out lesbian. There was an out gay man on SNL in the 80s.
Who was that?
Terry Sweeney.
Any relation to
Sweeney Todd? No.
No.
Julia
Sweeney.
Julia Sweeney. Yeah. Thank you. Sweeney Todd.
But I think that, like, where left to her own devices, where she would probably like to go is a little weirder or non-traditional. Weirder sounds judgmental. I'm not trying to be that way, but then what Hollywood is willing to bankroll.
That could be.
And the same way that if Will Ferrell had walked in prior to Old School and said, I want to do
Anchorman,
they'd have been like, this is weird.
Who are you?
And on paper, it's a 4-minute sketch.
And on paper, it failed. Not even on paper. In theaters, it failed.
Yeah.
Like, it was not a hit. The second one did, too.
Yeah. But they found their life on DVD.
We love Anchorman. Oh, there's a sequel. Oh, my God. And then no one went to pay for it.
Yep.
And it was funny.
It was funny.
It's
with
sad.
A whole, like, another hour of jokes.
Well, there's a whole, there's a
double
length,
of the movie.
Yeah, feature that on, you know, it is, it's sad. Those cult classics, and it's got to be a hard business with those because you get these followings and the people are really loud and adamant about like what they love and they're very supportive, but they just don't show up. Like they're the very loud minority.
Sure.
And I don't mean that
we're,
in a bad way, like
we're
we talked
to
about
that.
It, but they're the very loud minority. Oh, we love this. Everyone on the internet. We love Anchorman, but it's not the like Star Wars or Marvel.
Do you know
where
we failed at the box office that is beloved today?
What's that?
John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh, wow.
It failed miserably.
Office Space tanked.
And that's the problem. They get cult followings, but it's like people talk about it. They pass it around. And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, oh, God, maybe we should do a sequel. There's some heat. And then, but like the main audience just doesn't
show
up. And so it's.
Well, no, they probably do show up, but they're so small.
That doesn't matter. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
The majority audience doesn't. The niche one does because they demanded it. Super Troopers 2. That didn't make any. Like, I mean, it made money, but
I think for what it was, it made money.
It was a solid ground rule double.
But it was in theaters then out. Like, it didn't. People didn't show.
I'm not a huge fan of that first one.
I don't disagree.
That's all right.
I like Club Dread.
Brad
better.
Isn't either. Brad reviewed the second one, but he's like, I never liked the first
Club
one.
Dread. I know most people do. I like Club Dread way better than I liked Super Troopers.
Interesting. Yeah, it's just. It's
what about Beer Pong? That's
beer
them, right?
Pong,
that
was, no, Beer that Fest.
One did,
beer Fest.
That
beer
one
Fest.
Didn't do much for me.
Yeah. Was there a. What was the ping pong movie?
That was with Dan
Balls
Fogler.
Balls of Fury.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken and Dan
Fogler. Surprisingly not bad.
That's a funny. I like a lot of those dumb.
I just saw Take Me Home Tonight with Topher Grace.
At Quick Trip?
Yeah, right. With Topher Grace, it's like the 80s version of Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. It wasn't bad. Like it's the first time Anna Faris and Chris Pratt met. Like they met on set of that movie.
Sad.
But it was good. Dan Fogler's also in that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So this movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This one
Please
opens.
Begin.
Okay. So here's the question: has Justin Theroux ever played a good guy?
I don't pay attention to the career arc
his
of Justin.
His marriage to Jennifer Aniston.
What marriage?
I don't know.
That's not a thing anymore.
Okay.
I did say that to Spath, and I was like, there's going to come a point where the common denominator is Jennifer Aniston.
Like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, right. Huh. Like, let's not, I mean, you
all
can
blame. All these guys keep dumping.
I don't know what the problem is. I'm too successful. Well,
I will say, though,
is.
Jennifer Aniston is still smoking
hells hot. Yeah, she is.
Like, she's the female Keanu Reeves in that. She just doesn't age. Like,
she's probably her. I mean, Courtney Cox has aged out of that group. Yeah. They're the two that have aged. I haven't seen Matthew Perry. And,
or Phoebe. I don't ever see her.
She was on something.
She did a web series, remember?
She did a web series that got turned into a show.
Yeah.
And she had a show on HBO.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Where she was like, called The Comeback.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was really funny.
Oh, really?
But it was like, but it was not for everybody. It was that, like, really awkward. It's funny because it's so awkward. Like The Office.
First season.
Like, British Office.
Oh.
Like, where you're just like, this is cringe inducing, but it's also funny.
Yeah.
But it's also cringe inducing.
Right.
Gotcha.
I've talked about Crashing a lot, but Crashing is very similar. We're just like, oh, I just want you to succeed, but you keep screwing yourself over constantly from inserting your foot into mouth.
Yeah. So Justin Theroux is on this spy assignment. Like, it opens up with him doing the secret agent thing.
I didn't think this opening scene was that bad.
You know, here's the thing. As much as I didn't care for this movie, its action scenes
was on point.
Were surprisingly well done.
I know. I said that I talked that after we left. I went with Katie and Devin, actually. So Devin, friend of the show. And like,
you're pointing to Dan's chair, but all right.
Well, that I'm just I point forward. I don't usually point like this.
He's going to
Devin, friend of the show, with my hands behind my back.
I feel like you were introduced, like, and Devin, friend of the show, like he was going to come walking through the door.
So anyway, I was like, actually, some of the action stuff was pretty well done.
Where he jumps out that window onto that truck, all one cut.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm like, that's like low level Mission Impossible.
I know.
Stuff.
I was like, are we doing this? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
I know. And I really had high hopes. So I'm like, oh, this might be cool.
Yeah.
Like,
and then we go to the bar,
and there's a couple good fight scenes, and like
this movie didn't know what it wanted to be.
Yeah.
Like there are flashes
in that
of,
cafe with the shootout. And
yeah.
Stuff. Right. I'm like, oh my God.
Like, there are flashes of a Todd Phillips raunchy comedy thrown in with some Edgar Wright over the top action movie gore.
Right.
Thrown in with this other plot.
Just like them in the bar cut back and forth through the entire movie. I'm just like, God, come on. Like, I didn't like that back and forth. I'm like, just show the story and be done with it. We don't need to, like, I was not interested in the romantic part of this movie. And so, like, the fact that
I almost wonder if they had filmed this movie and realized that, I wonder if that stuff wasn't filmed in real time. I wonder if that was, if they did reshoots. And they put in that backstory framing device for people who haven't seen the movie. Like, the as the movie progresses in the present day, we see it starts off with her birthday. We see a flashback that runs throughout the film
of a year earlier,
which is where she met the boyfriend who is a spy. And it's like it starts off as what you think is a meet cute, and then the more you kind of see what's going on around her, less cute it gets. And I will also say I'm making it sound much more clever than it was.
Yeah, but it's like it takes the entire movie for their 10-minute interaction or whatever, their night at the bar, and it's like, oh my God, I don't need this set piece to keep going back and forth. Like, I'm not interested in it. I want the zany spy stuff. Like, I don't care about their romance.
No.
Like, it was a very, I don't know. They should have just gotten that out of the way.
I almost feel like there's a version of this movie where she doesn't end up with the blonde Australian spy.
He's British.
A British spy. She thought he was Australian.
Because he's a good line. And then there's two Australian girls later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that test audiences wanted that to happen, so they had to retrofit it. I don't know.
That could
I'm
be.
Totally making this up.
And then there was that other, like, I don't know if you'd call it mistaken identity, but that whole thing where it's like the blonde guy seems like he's a bad guy, but really he's not, and they play that up where,
yeah,
like,
it's, and it's also tough because we just saw this done with precision.
We just saw a real spy movie.
Like,
right.
Expertise. Yeah. Like, that's how you do it. And then this one's just like double twist, you know, double fake, triple fake.
And you can't tell if it was poor writing and reshoots or if it was actually, because I agree, when you first see the British guy,
you're like, oh, bad guy,
like, you think he's a dick.
Yeah,
and
right.
I don't think that was like a red herring on their part. I think it was just
that's the way he played it.
And again, as we went back to when you find out kind of the reveal on the Spy Who Dumped Her character of, like, he was mean to Kate McKinnon, and so you're supposed to not like him. But, like, his critique of her
was valid.
It wasn't vicious.
And he didn't know her.
He didn't know her. Yeah. And she just comes up and starts spouting off about this. And and so I get that he's just like, what is your deal?
Right. And he wasn't even rude. Or he wasn't even like, you know, you're a dumb bitch. Get away. I mean, he's just like, right. Has anyone ever told you you're a bit much? She came over, like Joe said.
Yeah, and I was like, if you hurt her, I'm going to cut your dick off
and make you eat it.
Yeah.
Like, instead of just like, you know, like if you're mean to her, I'll kill you. Or like just like an offhand remark. Right. She was like intense about it. And it's like... So he said that.
Although I did like the next line where she was like, you can have the condiments of your choice, but you will have to finish.
See? I told you there are funny moments. Yeah,
there are flashes
Kate
of funny
McKinnon,
movie.
Yeah. There are funny.
I like Kate McKinnon. Like, she's not my Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Don't try to put that on us.
Although Melissa McCarthy made this movie and it was 100 times better.
I got to tell you, I don't remember who I was talking to, but they're like, something was this a Melissa McCarthy movie that she passed on?
Well, I mean, like, she already made it.
That's okay. Yeah. Spy is this movie.
Spy is this movie.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And it's way better.
It is way better.
So, but yeah, I there were moments a lot where I laughed and I'm like, Kate McKinnon says some funny stuff, and but then there were just way more moments that were just cringy. And
yeah,
and
they do have Mila Kunis rocking this like Hawaiian shirt for half the movie. I'm just like, what? This is weird. Like, why is this her costume of choice? And then all of a sudden, I did like the scene where she walks the British guy out to her. Like, he buys a pack of gum. He's definitely hitting on her, and she just kind of rolls with it. She's like, oh man, it'd be so creepy. Like, this is not something I would normally do. And he was just like, he's like, this is the point of the conversation where you just like push me into a van. And he's like, well, this is going to be awkward.
Yeah.
And the van door opens behind him. He's like, get in the van. And I was like, ah, it's pretty funny. Like, I laughed at that. But the other guy I thought was funnier.
And I feel like they didn't make him out to be as much of a jerk as he ends up being in the third
act.
Right.
Like, he does a complete, well, not a complete, but he definitely leans into the jerkiness.
Right.
As we go
forward. I thought the Harvard joke was funny a couple times, but
I enjoyed that running gag where he's just like, all right, I got it. Like, the British guy has to get on the radio. He's like, go whatever. And there's like,
the joke is that the main blonde British love interest guy, his partner always says that he's from Harvard. So he like brings that up not nonchalantly in every conversation.
He's like, I got it. You're from Harvard. He's like, see, I didn't say it. Yeah. I didn't say it. You said it.
So the movie starts off. You see how
good action beat. We cut back to, and Justin Theroux gets captured. We assume, we jump back to this bar where Mila Kunis is playing Duck Hunt or some version of a shoot, arcade shoot game. And I
they make her out to be this gamer, like this cool gamer, but like she plays one arcade game.
Yeah, like, right. Like it's a shooting game.
It
like
was
it's
weird
not...
how they made her out like she was a gamer. Like, and then multiple
I guess I didn't
times,
feel like she was a gamer. She just liked that game.
I know, but in the movie, I feel like they reference more than one video game thing that was a gamer. Yeah, okay. And it's like... I don't know that gamers necessarily like just play this deer hunter.
I do love those games.
Yeah, they're fun.
That's good stuff.
Those house.
Give me some Area 51. Yeah, game on.
They are good. But anyway, so because of her skill with this barcade gun game, she is able to handle real weapons in the field. Like that's how they,
because that's not a thing.
That's how they introduce. Yeah, right, like right. Because she can pick up the red or blue virtual cop gun, does not mean that you know how to
fire
cock
a gun
and turn the safety off.
One
and,
of the things that drives me insane, in these movies is when a character has a semi-automatic weapon with a slide, it's already loaded, and then like when they pick it up.
They cock it again.
It's like, it's just like, you know, you're just wasting a bullet.
Like that bullet,
like
would
a bullet's
fall
gonna
out.
Fall out. Yeah. Like you're just wasting a bullet. Yeah. Don't cock the gun.
Yeah.
Or just look to see, like pull the thing out and look underneath. There's a billion different. There's five or six different ways to see if there's a gun in
usually,
the chamber.
Usually, there's a marking that says that there's a bullet in the chamber.
Well, like, I mean, you can pull the slide back and you can see if there's already a bullet in the chamber, or you can release the magazine and look underneath it and you'll see the bullet in the chamber.
Like my gun has a thing that pops up when it's loaded.
Oh,
like,
really?
It has a thing on top that like sticks up a little bit. You know when there's a bullet in the chamber.
Oh, not
my gun. You could tell if there's one in the chamber because there's a dart sticking out of the end, and you're like, oh, there's a dart,
a Nerf dart.
Yeah. All I can think about is old school is with Sean William Scott, where he's like, I got a dart in my neck, like when they shoot him with the dart.
Yeah.
So we cut back to the bar, and this is where we are introduced to Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon, and that Justin Theroux's character definitely like has stopped responding to her texts. It's
he
her
broke
birthday,
up over text
but he
message,
didn't.
But they like right. She's all upset because he like his last message to her was the last thing, and then she the funny running gags.
I do
she
like
messaged
where
him 50
I do like
times.
Where, and, she's like, "Can I see your phone?" And she gives it to Kay McKinnon, and she scrolls through the text messages, and it's like 100 text messages. Right. She's like, "Oh boy." So I do like that. This movie wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be because there are beats that I enjoy, like the friend that like they invited to the party that didn't think was going to show up. That's super condescending. She's like, "When I see you guys together, I was just like, oh." And then I see you with him.
I thought that friend was funny, especially at the end on the news report.
Yeah,
or
she's
whatever.
Like, I just didn't think she was that capable.
Keeps giving like backhanded compliments. Yeah, yeah.
She was funny. I mean, there's like she's in like two scenes, but I did enjoy that. Like, see, there are moments like there are funny things that made me laugh. But overall, the whole movie was just weird.
It was all over
like,
the place.
It just, yeah, it was very confused with what it wanted to be, and it was. I don't know. Sometimes I guess it felt a little too preposterous, like in their travels. Like
there was this where they're like, "I guess we're going to Vienna."
Oh
I was
my
like,
God.
Well, how do you afford that? You work at a grocery store.
Yeah. Good thing our passports are still in the glove compartment from our trip to Mexico. I guess we'll just go to like, that felt so forced, like and inorganic.
If it's going to be that preposterous, then it needs to be like
the whole movie.
It needs to be like 10 times.
Yes. Like exactly. So they do things that felt stupid because the movie wasn't that goofy or preposterous for the rest of it. So those moments felt really dumb with how easy it was for them to travel and do things like that.
Right.
And so anyway, yeah, I thought the tone was very uneven, and yeah, I wish they would have owned it. We say it all the time. Like if you're going to get crazy with things, like, own it. Like Fast and the Furious has started to own it, whereas
Mission Impossible has started to own it.
But in like we're like five though, or whatever. Like five, they were still trying to be grounded, so some of the things just came off as stupid. But by the time you get to Fast and Furious 8, it's like,
oh, we're gonna jump. We're gonna
they are superheroes, and they owned it. Where this movie, obviously, I mean, it's an original. It's not part of a franchise or anything, you know. So they're but it was very, very uneven the way that it felt. And so I just thought a couple of the things that they did with like their travels just felt really ridiculous, not in a good way. They kind of turned me off, and I don't know, it just felt weird.
So they go back to the apartment. She sends the text where she's like, "If you don't call me back, like, I'm burning your shit."
Yeah. Oh, and okay, and so he does,
and he was
call
just like,
back,
"Oh God!" Like,
because the thing is that he's hidden a flash drive and a trophy,
right,
which is part of the stuff that they would be burning. And
yes,
so he's like, "Don't burn that stuff. I'll come back
and get it," or whatever.
But he's in the middle of this, isn't he? In the middle,
it's like
of
an op,
an
like
operation.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what he's doing. So she goes to work. She gets kidnapped by the CIA and MI6.
Yeah.
They ask where the boyfriend is. She's like, the running gag is she can't lie, so she gives into this detailed explanation, and they're just like, "You know, we know you're lying." And she was like, "Okay, fine. I talked to him 2 hours, like, you know, 12 hours ago, or whatever." So they let her go. She's like, "I don't know anything. I don't know what's going on." They let her go, goes back to the apartment. All of a sudden, here's the boyfriend. Justin Theroux shows up. She did not burn the fantasy football trophy. And then
I really liked it when the MI6 or whatever gets the fake trophy, and the woman's
woman, you mean Gillian Anderson?
From X-Files?
That's who that woman was.
No way.
Yeah.
I've never seen it like with. Didn't she have long blonde hair in this?
Yeah, so, I think
like,
she's a natural blonde.
I've never seen her like that. I've only seen her with the short hair. Oh, okay.
Did you not watch Hannibal?
No.
Oh. Is she British? She's not British.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. I didn't know that was her, but
yeah.
I do like it when they get the wrong trophy. So eventually she ends up pulling this swap with all these trophies so she can travel through the airport, and they end up getting the fake one, and Mila Kunis pockets the real drive or the real statue or whatever. And she's like, "Oh, well, I'm glad that you messed up because now you're like best grandson or whatever." Like that's another one of those lines.
Like, they're going to the airport and they just start dumping trophies into this case.
Yeah.
And she's just like, "What are we going to, when they check our bags, what are we going to explain why we have all of these trophies?" And she was like, "I don't know. Whatever."
Yeah. Like that moment was funny. I mean, there are lots of flashes. And when I think back on this movie, like just mentioning the good parts, I'm like, there was the making of a fun, good movie here.
We talked about American Ultra on the Patreon, where I was like, in theory,
right,
that's a good movie.
Right.
Like it's an interesting premise. There's a lot of American Ultra in this movie where like all of a sudden in that, where they go to Vienna to they're going to meet the contact to give the drive. And all of a sudden Mila Kunis is a super spy. where like she's knocking over tables and she's shooting people from like around the corner.
Right, because she can play Duck Hunt.
Right. And it's just like, okay, so there's like that is American Ultra. Like there's scenes where Jesse Eisenberg like clicks like the that's you know,
but
you
there's
know,
a but there's
but
a
he's
plot,
programmed.
There's right. a plot device.
That's
there.
True. Do you know the American Ultra story? Have you ever heard this?
No.
That it's real thing. That's a it's a real thing.
Really?
Is that there's sleeper? You ever seen the movie The Manchurian Candidate?
Uh-huh. No.
It's American Ultra.
Oh,
like that. There's sleeper agents, and it takes like a phrase, and they click into.
But you're saying that's based Manchurian Candidate's based on a real thing?
Well, it's the theory of American Ultra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there, the theory is that there's sleeper agents.
Yeah.
And that this phrase, you know, clicks into programming, and they go carry on a mission, and they have no memory of
but
it whatsoever.
Do you mean that that's a real thing, or that it's based on another movie?
Oh, it's based on a real thing. Well, oh. not a, well, based on
it's
a theory.
It's like a conspiracy theory
yes.
kind
oh,
of thing.
I'm not okay. saying that the okay. American Ultra is a real thing.
No, I'm just like, clarify. That's interesting. I want to read about this.
Yeah,
like, go, if people
it's,
really
interesting,
want.
It's an interesting idea. But yeah, so
maybe
like,
that movie's a lot where like someone says the secret word and then all of a sudden the person
yeah.
clicks.
Yeah, it's,
and
an,
that, like,
it's an old. It's an
they
old.
They say the secret word and then they win $100.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh boy! And then they forget they won it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The secret word is.
All of a sudden, I get up and walk away. What happened?
We got to find out that word.
Yeah. No, because then you're gonna have somebody else got to do the synopsis. And
yeah.
You guys are
hell
gonna
no.
Do that.
That's fair.
Yeah. I have worth. yeah. So they realize that the person in question is not who they thought it was. The MI6 British guy shows back up, even leading more credence to the fact that he's the bad guy. And then do they get kidnapped?
Well, there's that shootout in the cafe.
There's a shootout in the cafe. Then they, she's
which
like,
I think was a really,
was a really well done scene.
It was.
Yeah.
And then they go to, so Kate McKinnon calls her parents.
I love the parents.
Yeah.
I thought the parents were great. She's like, I told them about that thing that we did in Mexico and they didn't get mad, or that time that I did this and they didn't get mad.
She tells her mom about guys' penises that she dates.
She forwards them dick
the pictures.
To,
yeah.
And I was just like, oh, Jane Curtin. Hi. Like, I forgot that you were still
alive.
Yeah,
totally. You don't see her very often.
Not at all.
She been in the, wasn't she the mom in something else? I feel like
I haven't seen Jane Curtin in years.
I feel like I've seen her in something, but not frequently.
Okay.
Coneheads.
Yeah, okay.
Was she on... Did she show up on Third Rock?
Yeah, she was a reoccurring...
That's what I...
Yeah,
right?
She was like the star of her and John Lithgow.
No, it was her and... It was John Lithgow. She was the star of that show?
Yeah, they were the two main aliens, right?
No.
What was I
Jane
thinking?
Curtin, the main star of that show was that tall blonde.
Well, they were that's like one of the kids, right?
No.
But
maybe she was the mom, like the Earth mom that takes them in and she's got a she was like
maybe.
The straight man. I never watched it.
It was a good show.
Yeah.
It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt is on there as a kid. Like
right.
It's, I can't remember that gal's name. Did they say with the Christine or Christy? John, and she was like the number two.
Right. Gotcha. I never watched
it,
so let's
good
continue
anyway.
On.
Anyway.
Like, none of us know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like the scene where they're running across the street, and she's like, I killed someone. She's like, stop saying that out loud! Something else happens. I don't remember. They go to...
Kristen Johnston.
There we go.
But Jane Curtin is like one of the main characters.
Yeah. She's the one who like has the house. That's right. That's right.
Does she work with the dad or something?
She's a doctor. It says Dr. Mary Albright.
Yeah,
so I think
doesn't
he like...
I think he's a doctor.
Poses a professor.
Yes.
She's another one of the people that she works... I've seen like a couple episodes.
Yeah.
She works in his office or at the school or whatever. Yeah, okay.
Jane, you ignorant slut. Yeah, so they end up... Somehow they end up hooking up with who she thought was... Oh, that's what it is. Calls Paul Reiser and Jane Curtin. Paul Reiser, I was like, oh yeah, look, you're still around too.
Paul Reiser's in this movie.
Paul Reiser's the dad.
He's the dad.
Oh really? I guess I've never not like he's gotten older. I haven't seen him.
He looks exactly the same.
He always looks.
Really?
He just has lighter. His hair is grayer.
Okay. Yeah. I just didn't realize that was Paul Reiser. Okay.
Yeah. Mad About You? No.
No.
You never watched Mad About You?
No. But I mean, I know Paul Reiser's. I just didn't recognize him. Okay.
How old are you?
31.
Okay. I just feel like those shows were.
I don't think I was of the age where I would be watching Mad About You when it was on TV.
I definitely, because it was Mad About You and Friends and Seinfeld.
They were all like...
It was all together.
Yeah, I mean, I just think I was too young.
Third Rock, I think,
how
was
old
part
are you?
Of that. 36.
Okay. Third, Rock
so, I mean,
Third Rock was not a Thursday night show.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay. But I'm 5 years younger
I guess that's
than you,
true.
So
that's
if you
fair.
Were at the entry of watching those shows, like, I just wasn't at the... Yeah.
So Paul Reiser kind of gives her the name of a guy that he helped out in Prague. That's where they are. And so they go to this guy's house. They get on a good chase scene where they're getting away on like bikes. Like they do the old switcheroo where they're like, you're looking for two American girls. And I do like this scene where like the Russian assassin is looking at stereotypical like American
she just, like,
girls.
Gives up. She's like, I can't do it.
Like, I have no idea. And of course, but like they're not doing typical American. They're on bikes. You know, like they're riding bikes.
I liked that character. I liked the Russian.
She irritated the bejesus out of me.
Really? I like the idea of this like trained assassin that like I liked it when she did all the gymnastics and then popped up in front of the camera. Like clearly that wasn't the actor. You know, like I like that kind of humor. Like if it owned it and the movie was full of that type of stuff, that's my type of humor, which is like Loaded Weapon. It's the ridiculous, like let's just do something crazy, some crazy stunt. And then the other person that clearly is not the person doing the stunt walks in front of the camera. You know what I mean?
So, like, you mean like Predator?
Well, that is not as zany, but yeah. So I appreciated like some of those moments where she was just doing ridiculous stuff.
Have you watched that recently, Tom?
What's that?
Predator.
I have not.
There are scenes where it is glaringly obvious that it is not Arnold. Like the guy has got to be like 25 pounds lighter.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. You said it's on VHS. You don't see it or DVD. Yeah. On Blu-ray, you're just like, oh, not even close.
Yeah.
So they go to this house with a guy who's super creepy.
Creepy. It's like creepy old guy that starts hitting on Kate McKinnon.
He looks like the guy from the original Girl with a Dragon Tattoo who plays Elizabeth Salander's
keeper, guardian, whatever.
But yeah, like he reminded me of that guy.
Yeah. That guy gets his though. That's good.
Oh yeah. A lot.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to get
they're
more
making a new one of those.
I did see
they're
that.
Making a fourth one.
There's another book.
Another sequel.
There's another book, though.
They're making a U.S. sequel,
oh,
but with different people. Like, no David Fincher.
It looks, if you see the trailer.
Oh, no, I thought it's a Swedish sequel for the fourth book that he never
finished.
Oh,
is there? I know it's
the fourth book.
Oh, okay.
And they've made all three books. Are
right. I know that they're supposed to be making a U.S. sequel, but with no David Fincher and a different cast.
So this new one, if you look at it, looks like they got Fincher's understudy.
Oh, I'm sure they said, you know,
make it look like this.
They probably treated it like a TV show, right?
Probably.
Like a lot of times.
Well, that's what they were.
On TV, the
original Swedish ones were TV movies.
But you see that a lot on TV shows. They'll bring in a big name director for the first one.
Mindhunter.
House of Cards. That was David Fincher.
Mindhunter was also David Fincher.
Was it? Okay, yeah. And then they're like, he kind of builds.
He sets the tone. JJ,
the
Lost.
The template, sure. The Bible, and then they're like, now
follow it.
Now go follow this.
Yeah. JJ did the first episode of Lost.
He didn't do more than one?
And created it. Well, he might have done a couple, but then it was just other people. Like,
oh,
JJ wasn't
doing. He wasn't there every week.
Yeah.
Who was his? Doesn't he have like a bunch of guys that kind of came up under him? Was Matt Reeves one of his guys?
I don't know.
I think he had like a bunch. There's a few like current Colin Trevorrow might have been.
I don't know about that because he was from Safety Not Guaranteed and then he went to Jurassic World. So I don't know if he had anything to do with JJ.
I feel like JJ had like a little group of guys underneath him that have.
No. I mean, Lindelof and whatever.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy? Damon Lindelof. And who is the other Lost guy? Showrunner. Carlton Cuse?
Yeah, I think that
Damon
was
Lindelof and Carlton
Cuse. Lindelof,
Hughes.
Who's doing Watchmen.
Yeah,
for
Lindelof is the one that's really. I haven't heard Carlton Cuse do anything really, but Lindelof has had a lot of different. He did the what's the other show? The
Leftovers.
Leftovers, I think,
starring Justin Theroux.
Okay, yeah, I think that was him too. So he's done a bunch of stuff. But anyway, so yeah, so she has this creepy guy.
Right.
He's hitting on her, and then Mila Kunis gets sick.
I thought there was going to be some serious like potty humor because there's a whole scene where Kate McKinnon has to go take a dump, and then there's a whole scene where Mila Kunis is puking.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, well, okay, so we're going to, like, what's happening? Like, what kind of movie are we trying
right, like,
to be
like, there's a
at
couple
this
scenes
point.
Where it was like that, but they never do it again. So it's like, yeah, are they trying to be an outrageous Bridesmaids type, or are they trying to be an action movie or a ridiculous movie? Or
Bridesmaids,
who knows?
So good.
But yeah, I mean, I do think it was funny when Kate McKinnon was like, oh, I've got to go, but it's okay. I'm just going to sit here. And Mila Kunis
like,
no, you
go.
Should just go. Yeah. Like, that was.
She's like, no, it's fine. I'll just hold it.
So Mila Kunis is thrown up in the bathroom, and she realizes the dead body in the bathtub. So really, that's the dad's friend, and this guy's a bad agent.
He's a bad dude. Yeah. And then the Russian gal shows up. They drug them both. They throw them in the bathroom. And then Mila Kunis, there's like, where's the drive? And they're like, we don't know. We don't have it. I flushed it down the toilet. And then we come to find out she didn't flush it down the toilet. She put it in her vagina. And I was just like, okay, so there's that gag that we're going to get. That's fine. And we do get it. Like, if this was the movie with the toilet humor, then you have a sound effect when she takes it out of her vagina. Like, I mean,
I don't know.
But I mean, like, no, if that's the movie, with her puking her guts out and you see it, like, it's not like she's got her head in the toilet and you can't see it.
Or when,
like,
you see, when she pulled it out, it would be glistening.
Exactly. Like, you have some awful joke where it's just like, oh, that's the joke.
She is a spy, so it would stand to reason that she would have access to a glistening device.
One would have said, oh, look at you.
I thought that was funny in the car when she's like, should I just hand it? Should I, like, wipe it off?
And he was just like, oh, no, it's
fine.
It's, yeah. I also like where she's like, I'm not a Brazilian supermodel. Like, we don't all have the same situation down there. Yeah. I was like, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. You could tell he was supposed to be the good guy because he didn't smell it.
He didn't smell. That's weird. It doesn't taste like anything.
Oh, God. Lord. So
when does Dan come back? So she hands the, it's like she all of a sudden decides to trust the British guy and hands over the
because he was like fake bad for no reason, but now we realize he's like, good. Like, it just was a weird,
we find out that he was Justin Theroux's partner.
He was?
Yeah.
I didn't realize there
the whole
partners.
Scene. Yeah, the whole scene in the, like, bar. He was outside the bar the whole time.
He was running the
oh, right.
And then he was
the
just
band,
like, oh, yeah, and the worst song on that jukebox was blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, don't do that. Like, don't be that guy. Yeah. Come on. So they can't crack the code. So apparently Kate McKinnon's character this is the point where I leaned over to Spath and I was like, this should have been Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
It would have been great.
But he was Snowden. Him. Right? Like, he played Snowden in the Snowden movie.
I think the guy was good, though. Like, from behind. Oh, they filmed him from behind, but I'm like, it looked like him. He sounded like him. Like, that was a good... I did think it was funny that she was, like, friends with Snowden. He's
she banged Snowden.
Yeah. And he, like, we should get together sometime.
She's like, all right, bye.
Yeah, no, it was better. She's like, yeah, totally. When you get to L.A.
That's what it was, yeah.
It was good, but yeah.
That is a good
so
line.
So he cracks the code, and...
I do like that you can read... You just type it, like, Snowden's just reading the code over the phone, and he's just like click, 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 click.
No, it's like ampersand three,
number sign.
It was just all crazy encryption. Right. What do they find on it? Again, I was so checked out. Nothing.
It was a back door to the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, is it the War Games virus? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
The back door
also,
to the internet.
Also, same plot as Skyscraper.
You know, you can get into the internet through the front door, right?
Yeah, but it's not as fun.
Yeah. Well, if it's the back door to the internet, and she put it in the wrong hole.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a very good point. It was sharp, you know. The other hole is more pliable.
Oh, my God. Okay. So they find the MacGuffin device.
Yeah, right. But it is. It's the same plot as Skyscraper, where they're just like,
you ain't
seen
nothing till you're down on a MacGuffin.
That's right. That's right. Depends on where the MacGuffin had been, I guess.
Is it a chocolate chip MacGuffin?
If it is, get out.
Yeah. Get out of there now.
Bail.
Yeah.
Those aren't chocolate chips.
Nope. Nope.
you know it's bad when we start to censor ourselves.
Yeah.
Like when we audibly are like, no, I think I'm gonna sit on that one.
That's
save that for the Patreon account.
That's right, yeah. So now the bad guys are on to them because they have activated the device. Other bad guy shows up and tries to get the drive.
This just sounds like the plot of Mission Impossible Fallout.
It does, though.
They've activated the device, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is him in the helicopter trying to run after
him. In Rogue Nation, wasn't there another movie that had just done the same plot?
Oh, maybe.
I remember talking about it. We were like, this is the same story.
That's funny. I forget what it was.
I do remember seeing one right after and being like, wait, what?
We're like, wait, we just did
the same thing.
Was it Spy, maybe? Was it maybe that?
I don't remember.
Spy, wasn't the premise of that is she gets brought in?
Isn't she like a desk worker?
She's a desk worker.
But then they
gets brought
her
into.
I thought the actual mission she.
I never saw it.
There was something with Rogue Nation where we were like, we just saw the same story. Like, we liked the movie, but I think we might have even liked both movies, but we were like, this, how did they end up?
What happened?
Yeah.
It is so weird when a movie comes out like that, that the movies are completely different, but they come out within a month of each other, but the plot or something is so glaringly similar, but there's no way they could have known.
Right.
Being in production, you know, years.
Great minds. Yeah. You know. So they, big shootout. I'm trying to think.
Like
they
the Jungle Book movie.
Like the Jungle Book movie. Which is, so, okay.
Except
so
that
I
got
saw,
delayed 3 years.
I saw this at Ronnie's.
Oh, okay.
Still had a poster up for Mowgli.
It has been up for 2 years now.
I guess, and they just never took it down. I was like, isn't that straight to Netflix now?
Yeah.
I think that's right.
That's so weird that they had a Mowgli poster up.
They did.
Like,
they did.
That movie was supposed to come out like Christmas last year or something. I mean, they delayed that thing big time.
Well, I thought it was supposed to come out kind of up against Jungle Book. And then Jungle Book was like, oh.
Well, I know. Yeah, they pushed it off. She's like, okay, Disney's is coming out. Yeah. We don't want to mess with that. So I feel like that was them, because that was a few years ago. And I feel like Mowgli was like going to be like Christmas 2017 or something.
Oh, maybe.
And now here we are in the middle of 2018. And it was supposed to come out whatever later this year or next year. And they're like, no, we're going to go
Andy
to Netflix.
Andy Serkis's directorial debut?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's too bad. But like, I talked to Joe about this off the air. But okay, so Disney's The Jungle Book made like, what, $1 billion?
Easily $1 billion.
Okay. Netflix's highest budgeted movies, there's two of them. One is the, is it not the Irishman? What is the?
Well, there's the Ryan Reynolds, Michael Bay movie.
But there's the Martin Scorsese one is the one I'm talking about, where it brings back like everybody, like De Niro,
oh,
Pesci.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the Irishman.
The Irishman.
Think, yeah.
Okay, so that has a $140 million budget. And then the Michael Bay, Ryan Reynolds movie has a $160 million budget.
Right.
So like, they're not going to buy Jungle Book for $300 million. Like,
no.
If Netflix is buying their movie, they're buying it for like $100 million or something like that. So it's
they're
like,
hoping to break even. Warner Brothers is hoping to break even on that movie.
So how bad does this movie have to be where like the Disney Jungle Book makes $1 billion, Andy Serkis's movie they sell to Netflix for like $100 million, they don't think worldwide they can make $100 or $200 million?
But they might still have the rights to it worldwide.
That's true.
Like, a lot of times they sell it to Netflix but it still gets released theatrically. Yeah. Like, I think didn't Bright get
Annihilation was reversed.
I know Annihilation was Netflix here and theatrical everywhere else.
No, backwards. Opposite.
It was
Yeah. And Netflix everywhere else.
Yeah.
And I think Bright might, but they've been doing that where they acquire a movie domestically, but it still gets released theatrically.
Bright could probably, I mean, he still has draw power overseas.
Right.
Will Smith, not.
I don't know. See, I didn't hear that they bought Mowgli just for U.S. I thought it was going to be just.
I don't
Netflix.
Know that they
yeah.
did. I'm just saying, but they might
okay.
have.
Well,
that would explain the
price. That would make a little more sense, because I'm like, God, how bad is this movie to where, I mean, it was supposed to come out around the same time and they delayed it. And it's
they
like, and
they
now,
had,
they're,
yeah.
now they're just giving it to Netflix. Like, is it.
Well,
that?
If they put up against that Jungle Book movie, they were going to get swallowed up.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I do
no
wonder
way.
what the business model is on streaming, in that, like, I mean, obviously you have to have content, you have to spend money on content to get it, but like, to spend $100 or $120 million
how
on
do you
a project,
prove that was successful?
How do you
that's a great point.
Gauge the metrics?
I say that every time. Like,
yeah. It's just like TV ratings. You know, like,
well, no,
I don't
know. You can
it's,
sell commercials
it's
based
not,
on the ratings.
The TV ratings they use to justify the ad rates, and then the ad rates recoup.
Yeah.
So are you saying that if I watch something on Hulu and they are gauging how many commercial breaks they have based on what the ratings were on when it was live?
No,
I'm saying
the
business model for television with commercials is that.
Well, I just mean like if I watch something on Hulu, how to make a murderer. Right.
Well,
like
they just sell at like they just say we're gonna charge you $4 for every 1,000 times we show this commercial.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
that's just a set rate. But with television, like Tom said, it's based on ratings. With Netflix, they buy a movie for $140 million, and their subscribers go up 20,000 from the month before to the month that was released. But it's like, how do you justify saying, oh, we would have lost this many without buying it? Or kept, like,
right, because
it's bizarre, because you've also added 50 other movies,
right? Because I have Netflix and I keep Netflix and I and so like they'd have to really like
I've had
have
Netflix since it began.
Yes,
like, I've never canceled
here.
So like
they'd have to put out they just have to really have a
They'd have to do it. Honestly,
they'd have to go a long time with bad stuff before I bailed on
for
Netflix.
For me to not pay $8 for Netflix, it would exactly. So like I follow the numbers, and like I follow the analysts and some people like on Twitter that will talk about it and say, oh, this quarter Netflix said they had this many subscribers, blah, blah, blah. And I always am tweeting or responding with like, how do they, like, it's fascinating. I would love to
know aren't business. Aren't they technically in the red? Like, aren't they always in the red? Like, aren't they like $20 million in the red?
I don't think so.
They were for a while.
I don't think
they
are, because they've been on a major cash expenditure to buy and acquire and produce content.
Okay.
And so a lot of people have been, you know, a lot of the investor types have been worried about Netflix because they feel like they're borrowing a bunch of money to make a bunch of stuff. But, and they're like, is this worth it? But my guess is that it is because I think they can see that all of these studios want to bring their properties back in house and launch their own streaming services.
Correct.
And so they realize the days of them being a clearinghouse for other people's content is rapidly
slowly
coming
declining.
To
yes.
to a close.
Now, I can't wait for all the studios to fail though, and everything yeah. comes back to Netflix.
I don't.
They do
I
not
think,
know
I think
how
some
hard
studios
it is.
Aren't going to fail. Look, I mean, okay, just
no.
The
Disney's not going to fail.
Disney will work
if WWE can do it.
But that's
but
a,
now, this, here's the difference.
Okay,
so Disney and WWE have very well defined brands.
Yes.
That's true.
And
that's fair.
And WWE has been producing their own content for 30
yeah.
years.
A lot more than that.
Yeah. But and so like they have a bunch of content just sitting there.
Disney
that's
people
true.
Know Disney. And, WWE people
right.
know WWE. Fox just makes movies.
Right.
They could be
like,
bad. They could be kids. They
nobody
could be adults.
Says
they
like,
could be.
Here's the thing. People will say, I want to go see that new Disney movie.
Yeah.
Nobody ever says, I want to go see that new Warner Brothers
movie.
I want to
go see the
that's
new
legit.
Paramount movie.
That, like, that completely makes
it
sense.
It doesn't possible yeah. is Paramount. Do you think that 95% of people...
I didn't even know Paramount was still around.
Yeah. Do you know? Think 95% of people that see Mission Impossible know if you ask them what studio that was? Like, see, that's the problem. But so CBS wants a thing and Fox wants a thing, which I guess
Fox
that's Disney
gonna
now.
Get a thing now.
But, you know, they all want to do their own thing, but they're going to realize that getting that whatever per month is a lot harder and a bunch of them are going to fold and Netflix is going to be sitting here like, I mean, they've
I'm
got
still,
the
we're
brand.
Still here.
Yeah, and so I'm just really interested to see where that goes because it's frustrating for me as a consumer who has had Netflix and now have to buy all these other ones if I want their stuff and I'm not going to do it for all of them. I'm just
yeah, it's
and the, most people won't.
No, I don't think I don't think most people will. I think people will get Disney. I think Disney is going to make money. Yeah.
Disney will work
itself.
Because yeah. the because the studio is a brand. Yeah.
Yes.
And now plus Disney is Star Wars and Marvel.
Sure.
And
so
it's
Fox too though.
So they like, get yes. you that you get it for the kids, but then they stay as their tweens and teenagers.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, for
have,
sure.
You know?
Well, that's all they also get. I mean, they get the League, they get all that stuff from FX. They get every, you know, they get all kinds of stuff.
I don't
that
know because that's the TV networks though. I thought the TV networks were separate.
The news and sports were the only things that Fox kept.
But just because it aired on FX doesn't mean it was produced by Fox.
Oh,
yeah.
That's true.
That could have just been. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that they'll have a separate channel or something because they're not gonna want the Shield with a Disney
that's
brand.
That's true.
Or
right.
Like
no Vic Mackey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you like the Shield, maybe you should. Or if you like the Fantastic Four,
yeah.
here's the Shield.
Yeah. So it will be interesting. All right, so back to this.
All right,
movie.
So anyway,
I'm just as checked out from this
movie. I've got
movie
9 minutes
as,
left. I'll burn through this real quick.
As I was
in
the theater.
I know you're 50.
I said 50 minutes.
That's true, you
so.
Did. So they come to a plot where they have to go to this opening of like a I don't know.
Cirque du Soleil.
A gala of
some
sort.
Some sort yeah.
And
just like they do in Mission Impossible
just
movies.
Just like they do in Mission Impossible movies. Justin Theroux shows back up.
I'm pretty sure he was like shot in the face point blank and then he showed up.
It definitely
up.
Looked
like
he got shot somewhere in the upper neck
right
face
like
region.
Wasn't that weird when he came back and he was fine because
yeah.
I mean when he died clearly he wasn't like I knew he was gonna come back. It just felt like that was a fake out,
right?
But the way they did it made it seem like it would be awfully hard to do like without a scratch.
Right.
He just seemed fine where it was like what.
So he comes back British. They make it look like the British guy's the bad guy the whole time. And of course, so Mila Kunis, his character has always been pretty street smart this entire time. Like you've never questioned her intelligence
yeah.
until she's faced with a man. And then she immediately falls into back into the trap. I mean, she snaps out of it, but like she immediately goes right back to like, oh, we're making jokes and we're kidding around. And then you do the Die Hard thing where he, you know, goes to pull the gun out of his back and turns out like, cause like he's patting her down. She's like, I don't have it. Like I don't have the drive. What are you looking for? Mm. So, big shootout, massive. Again, good action set piece. Like the action was well done.
Yeah, I'm still surprised at how solid the action scenes were for a movie of this size and budget.
Right, right,
and mediocrity,
and a first time film director.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
no. It was a female film director, yeah. which I thought was cool because this type of movie with two female leads, like I like seeing that yeah. they're not like what I thought was weird was. Wasn't Ocean's 8, the one that had a male director, where I'm like, you couldn't have given that to a female director. Right. Like, you're going to go ahead and make an all-female Ocean's movie with eight big stars and then have a guy director. Like, I just thought that was weird. Where, like, this movie should be a female director, I feel like. And,
yeah.
Like, give that to the... There's plenty of great, like... geez, I'm just blanking on her name, but, like, I think Game of Thrones... she's getting a big movie or another TV show.
Isn't she doing Black Widow?
Maybe that's it. But like I apologize for forgetting her name, but like she's directed some of the great Game of Thrones episodes she's getting stuff. So it's like there are obviously competent female directors. And so like they
How would you like to be those guys from Game of Thrones? Right? Like you've done one show and you're done.
Yeah.
Like they're done. They don't have to do anything
but
else.
But now they're going to make like eight spinoffs or whatever.
Right, right. But like, I don't think that you think they're going to be involved.
Oh, yeah. For creating the Game of Thrones, I guarantee they have credits.
But it's just
on every...
like, what did you make? I did Game of Thrones on TV.
No,
anything
for
else?
Sure.
No.
Those two, D.B. Weiss, whatever. Yeah, like they those guys are set.
Good to go.
That's awesome. I mean, sometimes that happens where you just, you know.
I agree. So they end up killing Justin Theroux, gets hit by a bus. Which I thought was fun.
I mean, that's always good. That's
always good. We find out that we get the Russian girl again, which is just an absolute ridiculous fight with her and Kate McKinnon on a trapeze.
I liked it when her face got blown off, but then she comes back and she's all scarred up and stuff. Like
we didn't talk about that scene. Just mention it briefly. We tell each other like they're captured. She's like, if I knew where the drive was, I would tell you. We tell each other everything, and they just start going back and forth about the secret.
That was a funny scene.
Yeah. And then she's like, you really are best friends. And then they're like, do you have a best friend?
And she says some Russian word and she looks at the pole vault and she was like, the balance beam.
They're
like, okay.
Yeah, that was good. That was funny.
Yeah, they kill her. Do they kill her? No, they don't kill. Do they kill her?
No, she's still alive.
She's still alive.
At the end, he said she's in the sauna with some guy and he's like, what happened to your face? And she turns to look at him. And
that's before.
That's
because
not
at the end,
at the end
she's got like that weird contraption on her face.
Oh, that's right.
But it doesn't matter.
I think she was still alive.
Okay, we'll say she's still alive. They turn over the Mila Kunis and British guy get together. Turns out that Kate McKinnon stuck the drive in her butt. Like, that's where it was.
God, I don't even remember. I was so checked out.
It was a safe place, and it was in Kate McKinnon's
God.
Butt the entire time, which couldn't have been uncomfortable. That thing had sharp edges.
Her butt? How do you know so much about Kate McKinnon's butt?
I don't. Personally speaking.
I feel like we've talked about it. Did they have muffins? I feel like this deja vu. I'm deja vuing here.
And then we get a post-credit scene.
You stuck around?
I did.
No, I mean, there was an immediate...
There's two.
Credits hit on this thing. I was out.
Oh, hey. Wait.
There was like
they went to black and then some funny stuff.
So what scene?
Like,
what are you talking about?
Well, the credits is when they're showing the TV interviews, the full length.
And there's a second one.
There's
two of them.
And you stuck around.
I did.
But I saw the
Hats
one.
Hats off.
I saw the one where they were undercover in
That's
a Chinese
the one I'm
karaoke
talking about.
Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was like right after the movie ended. It wasn't like post-credits like...
That was more like a tag to the film.
Yes, I'm sorry.
It was a tag.
And then the credits started. I thought there was something after the TV
interviews. No. I left after the TV
interviews. Oh, God,
interviews.
Yeah. I was out. Like,
no,
please. And I was like, I don't care if there are. I am leaving.
I'm putting my hat back on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So we get like, it turns out that they have now joined this spy at IMF, yeah. I guess.
They put real guns in the
into
game.
Into the gun machine, which I was like, okay, if you're going to do that, like, that.
Make a whole movie
Make a whole
that.
Movie of that.
See, that was crazy. Like, I'm like, okay, I get it. She can handle those guns. Now they're real guns. I'm like, yes, thank you. Do weird stuff like that. That's cool.
Yeah. And then there's the TV interviews with the Australian girls whose passports they stole, and then the condescending friend.
See, them being real spies in just that Japanese karaoke bar or whatever was the best part of the movie. Like, I wish that this was a movie about two, like, cool female spies.
What's the Dan Aykroyd? Chevy Chase, Spies Like Us.
I want them doing their just a funny, cool action spy movie because the action was good. I'm like, I kind of wish that we got that movie where they were spies.
Yeah.
Not on the run and goofy, you know, because there were some laughs, but overall it just felt very uneven and very boring at times. I was so checked out. But then at that end scene, I'm like, okay, this is cool. We're like Kate McKinnon's in her gear, and she's you know, trying to do her thing like undercover.
I think Kate McKinnon's the character she does in this movie would be more enjoyable as a badass spy.
Yes.
And that's how, I mean, her and Ghostbusters, I thought the attitude that mm-hmm. she had when she finally gets her guns. Yeah. And like I, exactly. I liked her
like,
in
she
that
can
movie
be goofy
lot.
And whatever, but she's badass. I'm right. Like, and then it's like the goofiness kind of is the cover for like you don't suspect she's so badass.
Yeah.
But then she's awesome. Yeah, yes,
they,
I want to see
they
that.
They took the badass out of her.
They yes. did. Yeah. And that's where the credits rolled.
Yeah.
It had its moments. I didn't hate it.
I guess I was just really disappointed because I wanted so much more. Like
that
I,
is that
I like
agree.
I like these people.
We forget to mention the
yeah, I really like Mila Kunis
Austrian guys, dick and balls.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Like and like that's the Todd Phillips. Yeah. Like that's the Todd Phillips humor. I was sure. like, okay, if we're doing this. Do this movie,
right?
But then
the
we
camera
never,
shot
yeah.
with his balls hanging down, and then full frontal nudity just right there. Yeah. Like
I guess that's not who did Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Jason Segel.
He directed that?
He didn't direct, but he wrote it.
But there's the scene of him. Yeah. You know, yeah. I got a surprise.
But I mean,
for
that was his baby.
Yes.
He didn't
yeah.
direct
so
it.
So great. Such a great. But yeah, like that reminded me of that run of humor
mm-hmm.
that has
sure.
kind of gone away.
And Mila Kunis is also in
Mila
that.
Mila Kunis is also yeah. in that, yeah.
Looking fine.
Nicholas Stoller.
Yeah. Nicholas Stoller, yep, that's right.
What else has he done?
Oh, he's done a lot of those type of movies.
Did he get him to the Greek?
He's going to tell you. He might have.
Blades of Glory.
That was
Yes
bad.
Men. Yes Man.
Yeah, that was
Adventureland. All
right. Adventureland.
Yeah.
Ah,
he did do Get Him to the Greek.
Get Him to the
yeah.
Greek, yeah.
Gulliver's Travels.
A lot of those.
Not good.
The Muppets, which makes sense.
Okay.
Well, what do you mean the Muppets?
This Muppets? The Muppets the movie Muppets? With Jason Segel?
That's James Bobbin directed that.
This is listed as...
I'm looking at the poster behind your head, and it says directed by James
Bobbin. James
Bobbin,
who's a Flight of the Conchords guy. He's in that group. He directed The Muppets.
He was a writer on it. Sorry. Okay. I was reading the wrong thing. Hey, let me take all that back.
Oh, those were all writing credits that you're...
Yeah, okay. Those were writing credits. So, okay. He directed Get Him to the Greek, okay. 5-Year Engagement.
That was good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So a lot of Segel
stuff. Yeah. Neighbors.
That was good.
Neighbors, yeah.
Neighbors 2.
I like Neighbors.
Also good.
I like those Neighbors movies.
Yeah. Storks. I never saw the second one, but okay. The first one was good.
Storks was good. I like Storks.
Zac Efron, I think, can be very good.
He is your Human Torch.
Sure.
Signed, yeah. Sealed, and delivered. Yeah. He
like,
is your
Johnny
Storm.
He doesn't get enough credit, but like Zac Efron's talented. Has he been in some bad movies? Sure. A lot
Who
of
hasn't?
People haven't.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
I've not been in one bad movie.
That's well, your
What
sex
about those
don't
movies
count.
With the X?
I already made that joke.
Well, I was. They weren't bad?
They don't exist.
No. Anymore. Burnt those.
Yeah. Goodbye.
So, I don't know. Where are we at on this thing?
We're done.
Okay.
The
cool.
End,
awesome.
Happy 400.
Yeah. 400. Well, you know what? Congratulations, Kevin. Congratulations, Tom. Dan, whenever he decides to show
Blake.
Back up. Blake, yeah, for sure. I mean, he was part of us for a long time.
He's,
so congratulations,
the Pete
you guys.
Best of Real Spoilers.
He's the Pete Best.
Except we're not the Beatles of podcasts, but
no,
if we
cool.
were,
we
he would
it.
Be the Pete Best.
Yeah, we're like a Beatles cover band.
Right.
We're the Monkees of podcasts.
Ooh.
I don't think there is like a left out Monkees. It's just always been the four of them.
It's been
though.
The four of them.
Yeah.
All right.
The work on that.
But yeah, congratulations, guys.
Yeah, 400
episodes. 400. That's
so
good.
If you made it to the end of this review of this fantastic movie, then yeah, thanks for sticking with us for 400 episodes.
Yes.
And see you for the next 400.
So,
oh
God, that sounds so daunting.
I know. Well, so would 400.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
399 I mean, episodes ago.
So we've
2013,
had,
Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And here we are, 400 yeah. over 5 years later.
Yep. Marriages it's come and gone.
Basements, locations. Yeah.
Kids have been born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's it for this one.
Yeah.
Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, you can do so at Real Spoilers on Twitter, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers, or at our website, RealSpoilers.com. Don't forget our Patreon account if you want to kick in to celebrate 400 episodes.
Just $400 would be great.
You can do that at patreon.com/realspoilers.
Or $4 plus one would be fine.
We'll take 500 pennies.
Yes. There we go.
Yeah.
So that's it for this one. I don't know what's opening next
week. The Meg.
Ah, there it is.
Perhaps.
Don't quote me on that. I'm saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you said Mission Impossible is opening in like 3 weeks in a row.
I think the Meg is next week, though. Yeah. And if it is, then that is definitely the movie of the week. Jason Statham punching sharks, drop kicking sharks.
Punching giant sharks.
Yeah.
So there, that's what you have to look
this
forward to.
This podcast was invented to review the Meg. Like, there's no question.
So thanks for tuning in. That's it for this one. And until next time, DeLuca falls from the helicopter to his death.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.